He's looking for worshipers who produce something. Come on, Southwest Missouri, you've been called to disciple nations. Worship leaders and worship groups, you have been called to disciple nations. And never has there been a time before when you had such access to nations. With a click of the button, someone can be discipled by what you do. Somebody can tune into your service or watch your song on YouTube, and their life can be forever marked. And God intends for us to position ourselves to become a people to allow His presence to flow through our lives in such a way that redemption begins to work, not just for us, but through us.
Burn in us a passion to make Your glory known. Birth in us something that can shift the atmosphere.
And we declare a shift in the name of Jesus. We declare a divine shift over the atmosphere of Southwest Missouri. A shift away from depression and into hope. A shift away from uselessness into purpose in Jesus' name.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Four states. You are invited to participate in a regional worship event called Unite Worship Gathering. Join with worship leaders all over the area as we have a night of vertical worship and building community in the presence of God. All over the world.
All over the world.
God is shifting atmospheres and transforming culture through His presence. We believe that God is doing something so powerful and so transformative that it will change the destiny of our cities and region. The first Unite Worship Gathering will be held at Faith Assembly in Joplin, Missouri, and will start on Friday, February 20th at 7 p.m. If you are a worship leader or a musician and you are interested in taking a time slot at the Unite Worship Gathering, or if you are interested in hosting a Unite Worship Gathering at your church, please sign up at nextgenworship.com/unite. Everyone is welcome to attend.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I am your host. We are a grassroots worship movement, champions for creating community, dedicated to seeing cities and regions transform through the presence of God. The Bible is full of examples where worship dramatically changed the circumstances of earthly events. From the battlefield to the throne room, the presence of God through worship has been shifting atmospheres and changing destinies throughout history. Worship is not just an act where we show worth to God by singing a song, but it is an active hosting of His presence in the earth. We are literally vessels and hosts of the atmosphere of heaven to see the kingdom of God advanced in a way that rescues lives, transforms culture, and awakens nations. Now is the time for worshipers to arise to a new level. It's not just about our Sunday morning services anymore. God is awakening a generation of worshipers to Himself for the sake of the kingdom. Coming up this week is the first ever Unite Worship Gathering held in Joplin, Missouri, Friday, February 20th, starting at 7 p.m., going for 24 hours. Unite Worship Gathering is a regional worship event devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. We've got 24 hours of regional worship leaders worshiping the round, focused on vertical worship in the presence of God. Not only that, we have an ongoing potluck on the side. It's about the presence of God, about worship, and it's about building community. So if you come, be sure and bring something to eat, bring something to share. We'll have drinks provided, and just bring something to share and look forward to that time. All right, on this week's podcast, we have Will Brown. Will is a worship pastor at Promised Land Fellowship in Granby, Missouri. Will has some great things to share. He talks about what's coming for 2015, what's on his heart, and some of his experience in Southwest Missouri. So without further ado, enjoy my conversation with Will Brown.
fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Come rushing in.
All right, Will Brown, how you doing?
Well, how about you?
Good. Thanks for sitting down with me and having a chat.
My pleasure.
Hey, one of the points of these interviews and these conversations we have with guys is just to get to know people. You guys are, I don't know, about how far south of Joplin are you?
20 miles.
So 20 miles. 20 minutes, so yeah. Throwing a couple country roads, that's about 30 minutes away,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
why don't you just tell us your history? Like, I don't even know if you are from that area, or just kind of give us a brief synopsis of where you came from.
Well, I'm originally from Dodge City, Kansas.
I didn't know that. Dodge City.
My dad was a USDA inspector. They cross-trained him in poultry, and we ended up here because of chicken butts, is how he puts it. He got to look down chicken butts for years, and then we got tired of that, and he started a roofing company, and I've been working with him since 98 doing that.
Wow.
So that's kind of the history of how we got here. We started attending Promised Land, it was about 12 years ago now. We were a part of a congregation that kind of dissolved. It was a painful experience, but We went to Promised Land hurt and not really trusting the church as a whole, and mm-hmm. God really restored us there, and that's been our home ever since.
That's fantastic. So what do you do there at Promised Land?
I lead worship there.
Okay. Are you the main worship leader there?
I am. Okay. I am now.
Yeah?
We had four or five and sent out a group. Actually, one of the first podcasts you did with Jeremy Bridges. He kind of raised me up and trained me up, and mm-hmm. And because in 06, my wife and I moved to Daytona Beach to lead worship at a church for two
what?
Years, 06 to 08.
I
yeah.
didn't know that.
Yeah, so we moved down there, and I remember the Lord spoke to us, we were supposed to go, I shared it with him and a couple other guys that I, you know, still to this day really lean on to keep my rear end in line, mm-hmm. you know, hold me accountable. Then he just felt like, all right, well, if you're going to do that, then we're going to let you lead a lot. I led a lot in the youth group at the time, some in the main sanctuary, and was beginning to be raised up. And the whole mindset was, we're going to kill the lion and kill the bear, so that when it's time to move to Florida, I'm ready for the giant.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that was kind of the approach, if you will.
Yeah.
So went down there, had a 2-year-long painful vacation. The School of Hard Knocks, the only reasons it was a vacation is because the beach was there and you could go to the beach and sit on the sandy beach.
So it's like 5 degrees outside, you're talking about the beach. So
yeah, I know. What are you going to do? And I remind my wife all the time, because she was not a real fan of being in Florida because she missed her family so much. But now she's, I want to go to the beach. Well, I don't mm-hmm. want to hear it. So, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah.
It was a good experience for us to really own what we believed, as opposed to, you know, when you grow up in a group of people and y'all have the similar beliefs, or you feel like you do, until you're put in that position to own your beliefs for yourself. Them for the best example I can say is I have four daughters and one son, and modesty was something that we were very proactive
sure.
in raising them up to be modest.
Mm-hmm.
You move to Daytona.
Oh, I get your picture.
The bikini is a way of life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was, you know, we fought that battle even in the midst of our own congregation there. Well, why are you making such a big deal about this? Well, because there's something to be said about modesty,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we had to own our own beliefs and that from that aspect of it.
What do you say about you know, that you mentioned is kind of a traumatic experience? How do you go through an experience that's hard, but grow from it and not come away bitter? Do you have any life lessons to share about that?
Well, I guess the biggest
thing
is,
maybe you came away super bitter that way.
Well, not really. It was. We came away kind of hurt.
Yeah.
Just from, it was just different and difficult because you're where you're supposed to be, not really happy, but God, you know, without a shadow of a doubt that God told you to go there. So you're down there and you're moving and you're working, and you feel like you're fighting I made the comment multiple times. I feel like I'm one of David's mighty men. I've got my hand froze to the sword. I'm fighting all the time.
Wow.
And even to the point where, because my wife was so not thrilled with being so far away from the family, that I would call up other friends of mine and say, I got to go. I got to go back home, and be totally encouraged not to do so, because if you do that, the first bad thing that happens when you come home, and it wasn't God telling you to move, it's going to be your wife's fault. And I would never do that. He said, it doesn't matter, the counsel I receive, it wouldn't matter, because whether you say it, whether you think it, she's going to feel like it. So you don't do anything until God tells you it's time. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, it probably another 12 months after that, I felt like it was God said, okay, it's time to go home.
Yeah.
And he gave me a very specific word: you're not moving back, you're moving forward.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic.
So just by hearing that, because, you know, as a guy, I felt like a failure. You know, we moved my family down there to lead worship at this church, and that was all fine, but it was just, I just kind of felt like a failure. And then hearing God say, you're moving forward. When I got back to work with Dad again, I put that on my office wall: you're moving forward, just as a constant reminder not to allow the lies of the enemy saying that you failed in this, because I didn't fail in it. God had a purpose for it. He had a plan for it, and I had to learn from it.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to rely on him and rely on my wife, as opposed to leaning on other people that were almost a safety net.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, everybody's in process, aren't they? And sometimes the process can be a little squeaky, you know, a little rough on you. But, you find a lot of people that find the process too hard and they stop growing. But the guys that kind of persevere, the Bible's full of perseverance type verses. And that's so good. You know, I didn't even know you moved down there, but that's probably because I moved away from the area at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. Did you say 2006?
Yeah, 06.
Yeah, so that's when we left, and we moved to Kansas City and spent about 7 years there. So that's pretty well. That's pretty well.
Yeah. So now, as a, you know, leading worship at the church and going through those processes, after the conference with Dustin, mm-hmm. I've really been trying to take the approach of you're pastoring in that moment, so to speak, shepherding the what's going on. And there was a season where I would just get so frustrated with looking at the room, and it's like I'm singing to a wall here. Right. What the world's going on?
Easy to do.
To the point where I'm like, forget it. I'm just going to worship, and whatever happens, happens. Get that selfish mode, and then back to the place of, what are you doing? You're not, this isn't just about you. I have my own time. I can worship about any time. Mm-hmm. I can have that encounter with God, but I'm here to minister to God and to the people. It's not about singing. It's not about what I see, what I feel. It's about, I'm going to minister to the Lord and allow what happens to happen. And now, it's not always that easy when you walk away. You still feel like your worship fell off the edge of the stage and nothing happened. But
yeah.
You always find I'll give an example. Sunday night, at the conference, God told me I needed to start learning to play the piano, which I play the guitar.
At the conference from last year with Dustin Smith?
With Dustin.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and there was several, when we got together to pray together, I confessed that with our little group that we had met with. And so I committed to it, and I set myself a deadline as I created the next worship list. For the schedule, rather. So at the end of that next month, I led my first set from the piano.
Wow.
Key of G. It was brutal, but we got through it.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to add C right now, and I'm going through it. And so Sunday night, it was just like I just had to stop playing, and we just went a cappella because my brain quit functioning, and it felt like the worst time of worship. But then after it was all done, you know, in your weakness, God is strong.
Yeah.
He shows his strength. I heard more and more people say, that was such a wonderful time of worship. I'm like, well,
wow.
I don't know what happened. In my little bubble, I was just struggling to even sing. So
that's awesome. You know. You mentioned the conference. What'd you think? What was your big takeaway from that? What in what ways were you encouraged and stuff besides to start playing piano, obviously.
Well, I just really enjoyed getting together with other worshipers.
Yeah.
You know, you can become discouraged seeing people who come, churchgoers versus being with worshipers. And there's just a different atmosphere when you're in with a group of worshipers, as opposed to just, I know that's not probably the kosher term, but churchgoers.
Yeah.
But that, I enjoy that more than anything. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to get together in a couple weeks for the Unite Facebook group to get together and just interact with other worshipers, and hopefully we'll develop some friendships like we've developed over the years, and be a strong base for me to bounce things off of. And just really, you know, you've been talking about community a lot,
right?
And you know, I've been reading up a little bit on the I don't know if you're familiar with the worship mob
out in
what is that, Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's just me, but I can see a worship mob-ish thing possibly taking place with our area. And I mean, I know that we're loaded with very, very talented musicians and singers, but we have some great worshipers in this area, and we're going to be really cool to get to connect.
Yeah, that would be awesome. So you kind of look into the future there a little bit. Why don't you share with us a dream or two that you have for either personally or for your area? Or, I mean, what's alive on the inside there? What's stirring inside of you?
Well, right now, one of my main focuses, if you will, is my dad, my brother, and I have a roofing company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm really business minded with I minor in worship, if you want to put it in those terms. But you know, I've just really feel like that God has been stirring me to pray with other business people, and I feel like he and I met with a gentleman who owns an electric company, and if I may, I'll just read what I felt like God wanted me to speak to him, not just to him, but to others. And I think it really fits in with, along with us as worshipers as well. So it says that this is what I shared for him. And if this is for anybody else, please take hold of it. I feel like God is having me share this word to people I've encountered this year, and you are one of whom that I feel that I hear this from the Father. The Lord is going to pour out a greater wisdom to you this year to accomplish his plan for seeing his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Just as he did the men in Moses' day to make the garments for Aaron his priest, the items of the tabernacle, and the learn how to read, Will. All right. The items of the tabernacle of his presence here on earth in Exodus 35:30-36:2. 2015 will be a year of wisdom, understanding, and seeing the kingdom of God advancing in your sphere of influence. You are called to affect the atmosphere around you by the Spirit of God. And the scripture reference that I didn't put in that was that Exodus 31:3 says, I filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all kinds of craftsmanship. And that's speaking of, you know, creating the Ark of the Covenant and all those things. And I just see that this is a year of God giving wisdom and understanding and insight so that we can create a space, a place to see the kingdom of heaven move in a greater way. You know, you look back in those times, and this, as I'm sharing with this business owner, that in those times you had to do these things to prepare the place for God to be. In our, where we're at, there's a level of providing finances and bringing the wealth of the wicked that stored up for the righteous. And there's, I don't know all that it entails. I'm just about a month into really just chewing on this, but that's what I'm excited to see what's going on this next year.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.